Hello, and welcome to episode 334 of the Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. I am Doug, broadcasting from the lovely United States of America, and with me, the founder of Extra Features and broadcasting from the wintry cold north of Canada, Simon Watson.
Yeah, me and my igloo are doing great there, bud. Yeah, hey, I got my six-pack of beer and... You know, I went to Tim Horton at a double-double.
Nice.
You know,
nice.
Hey, bud, you know, I've been out and about all day shoveling the snow. You know, so I had my antenna, you know, had some snow on it, so I had to, like, get it off, eh? A bunch of hosers going by wanted to shovel my snow, but I said, no, this is me. I'm out and about. I'm going to do it. And it's weird, no, the guy came up from, like, down there where you are.
Yeah.
And he came up in shorts, goes, hey, it's summer season. I said, no, man, this is, we're in Canada. There's no summer here, boy.
So God, I wish that was the case.
I sold him some pants. So I sold him some snow, and I sold him a snowmobile, eh?
So nice.
His car got stuck in the snow. So I told him to go down to Timmy's, man, to have some good donuts, warm up, put some pants on, take the snowmobile, and go some skiing, because we all ski in July up here, eh?
Yes, and with the moose, right?
Oh, the moose. Yeah, the moose make the maple syrup. You've had moose maple syrup, right, down there? We sent it down to this Costco thing. I don't know what it is. We don't have Costco here. We have Moose Stop, but not Costco. You know, I've been to Saskatoon lately. You've been to Saskatoon, eh?
I have not. I've only been to Toronto.
Never heard of Toronto. We don't talk to them. Those people are not nuts. Too nuts. They like wear shorts in the winter down there. Oh, look at me. I'm Saskatoon. We don't have time for those city slickers.
Nice. God, I wish that was true. It's way too hot this summer. But
oh, you don't want me to talk in my Canadian accent for you anymore?
You can. If you do the whole episode like that.
I probably could.
I want to hear your Deadpool and Wolverine review from a Canadian. Yes.
Yeah, I will. Well, Ryan Reynolds is Canadian.
Well, yes.
Oh, he thinks he is.
And Wolverine, the character, is Canadian.
Yeah, he was in Alberta. He fought Wendigo in Alberta.
Yes.
Just down from Saskatoon, where I am.
Nice. So you got to watch out for them Wendigos up there then.
Yeah, you got to watch out for the Wendigos. Now, do you even know where Saskatoon is?
I do not. I assume it's on the East Coast. If it's not. It's a West Coast. Is it in the middle then?
In the middle.
Okay. I had three shots and I whiffed on
it's two. Right in the middle. Okay. It's kind of like, I don't know what it would. Is Idaho in the middle? Pennsylvania in the middle? No,
Pennsylvania's more east.
Chicago's in the middle?
Yes, Chicago's in the middle.
So if you go up Chicago, I think you hit Minnesota's below Alberta, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, then Montana's next. I think it's Montana probably will hit Saskatchewan.
Okay.
Whatever the hell that is. I don't know. I've never been there. You guys got dumb and made too many states.
Yeah, there are too many.
Too many. Too many states. I can't be bothered to learn them all. So... Today was the day we had to help my sister clean out her house.
Okay.
Sister-in-law. All day, buddy. Just all day is what I've been doing.
Is she it's moving or?
No. She just had a lot of stuff that needed to go.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I wish she was moving. No, it's fine. I like my sister-in-law just fine. Just meant there was a lot of stuff that. So that was delayed. But I have a great story coming for the end of the show if you guys want to wait.
Ooh.
But you got to wait for it, because when Simon bought, it's going to be funny.
Foreshadowing. I like it.
It is foreshadowing. Now, the big point here, Doug, you know, you've had a big break. Are you all set for the summer? Like, you're complaining to me. You're in Jersey. How hot can it be in Jersey? It's a big lake beside you.
It's been over 90 degrees for about... Yeah. 2 months now, so.
You know, hey, we don't use that in those degrees, hey? We don't know what that is. Is that like hot, hey?
Yeah, it's hot. So I guess, I guess, so that's.
Minus 32 divided by 2.
Okay, so like, it's been hot. It's been hot. Same I'll as just
here.
Say that.
Same as yeah. here. And really, if you want, if you forget about the snow, we're equal. Yeah, we're about the same. So I have good news for my American listeners. I was in your fine country 2 weeks ago.
Okay. I assume
nowhere near Doug.
The Buffalo area.
No, I was not in Buffalo.
Oh, you weren't? I think we talked about this last time.
Fort Dick or Fort something. Someplace in Watertown, New York.
Okay.
So I was there and I went to my favorite place. The Olive Garden.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
For $10, I got all I could eat breadsticks and all I could eat soup. That's all I wanted.
Nice.
So, and a drink was like $14, about $25 of my money, but I was happy.
Well, I'm glad.
And I got I got a wonderful shirt I'm not wearing, and I picked up some blueberry protein pancake mix, which made me happy.
Okay.
So, thank you, America.
Last weekend, I got to see the play The Prom 4 times because Owen was performing in it. So
pause.
So that was my weekend.
I'm glad you enjoyed The Prom.
I didn't say I enjoyed it. I said I saw it.
I've seen the movie but, and didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, but you know, Owen is now. They've asked him for his opinion on what show they should do next year. So he'll now have a say. He wants to do Spring Awakening.
I have no idea what that even is.
Yeah, a show I don't know anything about, but he says it's dark. He says it's a dark show. Yes.
Is there a part for me?
Maybe. Can you sing?
I'm terrible, but my daughter can.
Okay, that same with me. I cannot sing at all, but both my sons can. So,
oh, good for them. Well, no, I have one daughter in the school choir and one goes to school for singing.
Okay,
my other daughter, let's just say I think she found her chosen path in dance.
Okay,
because that's fine. Because I know my kids listen to my show, so I kind of got to be a little careful in what I say occasionally.
She has a creative outlet, and that's great.
Yeah. So, Doug, did you have a creative outlet going to the movies this week?
I do have some opinions on some of the movies that we have chosen to discuss, and I guess we could start with the big one right now.
Oh!
Oh!
I thought we were doing Safe Men first. Oh, okay.
No, that one's last. Our first discussion will be on Deadpool and Wolverine, directed by Sean Levy, starring Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman. I'm not listing off 30 cameos because I just don't feel like it.
Come on. There was no Stan Lee cameo, though.
There was.
I missed it.
It was on the bus at the end. The bus had had a advertisement for Stanley Steamers.
Oh, I and must have missed it.
That was the Stanley reference for the movie.
Okay, I guess I should start here because I'm sure you're going to swaddle me afterwards, but it's okay.
Okay.
I'll take it. I think this movie was good at times and terrible at other times.
Okay.
I thought the beginning was great. The whole setup, phenomenal. TVA showing up, phenomenal. Then I started having problems after the first 20 minutes. I got bored. I'm like, let's go. Oh, let's have a song. Let's do something during the song. I'm like, oh, okay. That'll be it. There'll be no more songs. Nope. Let's start another song. I'm like, oh. Let's go do something again. I'm like, oh, great. We're going to do something again. So far, we don't have a villain, do we? Nope. We're just going to keep doing this. Then the third song started. I'm like, I'm done. I'm finished. I don't want to hear any more stupid songs. I don't care anymore. I don't care about all the stupid Wolverines he's meeting. I don't care about all the stupid cameos out. Now I'm just annoyed. Because I don't find this interesting. I find it's just a short film upon a short film upon a short film upon a short film. To the point, I was getting annoyed at the cameos.
Okay.
Everybody was happy about them but me. I'm like, I don't care. Enough. Enough of the cameos. Let's get back to the movie. All right. We're going to go beat up the Professor X. I don't care about this Professor X. I have no interest in this Professor X. Oh, we got to the end of the movie. Let's play Like a Prayer. I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? Okay. Like the end of the movie. That was cool. Oh, by the way, did you intern say we're going to spoil movies? Because I'm about to spoil the end of this movie.
Yeah, warning, we are spoiling. Okay. It's hard to talk about this movie without spoilers.
So I'm getting to the end of the movie, and it was fantastic. The last 20 minutes, friggin' loved it. I like when he put his lid on him. Wolverine put the lid on. That was good. I liked all the Deadpool showing up. That was fun. But I'm like, do I care about this in any way? I'm like, I never watch it again. I don't really want to go through and find all the cameos I missed. I did like the Chris Evans joke. I thought that one worked immensely. Wait, okay. Was it a Human Torch? I couldn't stop laughing. I thought that was a good joke. But I really felt they were like making one of those bowls now. You see them on TikToks. And Doug pours in something, and Simon pours in something, and then Owen pours in something. Then that's what this film felt like. I felt like a bunch of cooks hoping one of those things would be funny. Mm-hmm. And if we kept routinely doing it, I would actually laugh. I'm like, this does not make a good movie to me, though. It makes a good bunch of little short movies, and I'm sure people are going to look at me and slap me in the face, swallow me up, and go back in the closet, Simon. This is a good movie. My problem is, people, this is not a good movie. It's a good, short, little films here and there. Fabulous idea. It does not mean they all together make sense and are good.
All right. This will shock you.
You loved it.
No, I'm pretty much in exact agreement with you. big apologies to Kevin. Because I'm sure Kevin will love this movie. To me, this was homework the movie.
Yes.
The more I think about this movie, the less I like it. I like the opening. I like the opening fight scene. I thought that was good. I like the dancing. I like the meeting the different Wolverine variants. Because I'm like, oh, that's from that comic. That's from that comic. That was cool to me. But then it kept going. I call it homework the movie because it is. It's all these Fox movies that all of a sudden we have to give a shit now after not giving a shit about them for over two decades. Why do I care about Elektra? I thought that was the die. If Jennifer Garner was playing her Peppermint character, I would have liked it more. I liked Peppermint more than Elektra. The only cameo that I thought was cool and surprising to me was Wesley Snipes as Blade. And honestly, he didn't even do any cool Blade shit. He didn't have his big sword. He didn't stab anybody in the heart. He threw the thing that, you know, spins around the room and slices necks. He did that once, but that was it. And I will be honest here, Wolverine with the mask on looked ridiculous to me. I thought it looked so stupid with the white eyes. It took me out of the movie. I did not like that look at all. I gave this 2 out of 5. It did have moments. Yeah. I mean, I liked the opening. I liked the Wolverine scene. Some of the jokes worked, but that's only because there were thousands of jokes and some of them have to land. But all in all, I just the more I think about this, the less and less I like it. So maybe my 2 will change to a 1.5, but it's already gone down from a 3 to a 2.5 to a 2 right now. So I'm giving it a 2.
I can't believe we have the same score. That is really weird. Well, I want to go back a bit. Okay. I was looking at Wesley Snipes going, is that Wesley Snipes? And when Channing Tatum showed up, I'm going, I think that's Channing Tatum. when I was getting to the point going, I spending too, like, you're right, homework. Who is that? Oh, that's Henry Cavill. Oh, that's Harry Potter or whatever. And I'm like, this is getting ridiculous. I'm spending more time paying attention to who's popping in than what's going on in the movie.
Yes. And, okay, if you've watched season two of Loki, this is a spoiler for that show. Why is this show, why is this movie even happening? I thought the end of season two of Loki was Loki saving all the timelines through his god powers. And so why is this, why is Deadpool's timeline dying to begin with? Unless Mr. Paradox was lying to him just to get him to be a useful tool, but we're never shown any indication that Paradox was lying to Deadpool. I don't know. I just, the movie, thinking about it, just makes less and less sense to me.
Okay, so it's not just me.
Yes.
I am shocked that Doug agrees with me on this one.
And did honestly, your, did both your theater my kids.
Pop? Your kids didn't like this either?
No.
Oh, I'm feeling better all the time.
Honestly, they're getting sick of Ryan Reynolds' antics.
It's not just me that wants to punch him in the face.
They want to see, and I agree with them, we all just want to see Ryan Reynolds act, not just play the same character every single time.
But the problem is, this is my Ryan Reynolds issue. He can't act.
I think he can. If you go, have you ever seen the movie, I forget if it's The Voices or just Voices?
Yes, Voices.
Yes, I thought that was good. I thought he was good in it. So I do think Ryan Reynolds can act. I just think when he acts, it doesn't pay as well as when he plays Ryan Reynolds or plays Deadpool.
Got a story for you about Ryan Reynolds.
Okay.
Going through my index cards, when before I got 8x10s, I just get index cards of everybody on film sets. I have a file card that says, "To Simon, thanks for spending the day with me, Ryan Reynolds." So I met Ryan Reynolds when he was nobody.
Nice.
Because I have no recollection of this. I keep thinking of framing with a Deadpool behind me with a thing. But I thought it was weird. It's a beautiful handwritten Ryan Reynolds, like, spending the day with me inside. That's when Ryan Reynolds was nobody.
So like back in the two guys, a girl in the pizza place days?
Before that,
okay.
He must have been on a Canadian film set for something.
Nice.
So maybe one day I'll bring it on the show and show you, and maybe I'll put a video up. Who knows? Okay. We both hated Deadpool Wolverine. I'm shocked.
Yes. All right.
I'm shocked.
So now we have another big movie of the year.
No, we don't.
Well.
Safe Man?
Bigot. No. Twisters. Twisters, directed by Lee Isaac Chung, starring Glenn Powell, Daisy Edgar Jones, and Anthony Ramos. Since you started with Deadpool, I could start with Twisters. I was not a big fan of the original Twister. I thought it was fine, but nothing spectacular. I think my favorite part of that movie was Philip Seymour Hoffman. But this one, it was fine. I'm not sure I agree with the big Steven Spielberg edict about the movie. His big edict was, you know, they can't kiss in the movie. I kind of felt like they should have kissed. I think, you know, if I heard somebody talking about this film and saying, you know, if they had ended the film with the line, you know, if you want it, chase it, that would have been fantastic. Instead, there was a whole other scene after that when they're in the airport. And yeah, I think if you're going to go on after, if you want it, chase it, you gotta have them kiss at the end. The special effects were fine. I was actually disappointed that it doesn't have a big connection to the original. I thought for sure Daisy Edgar Jones would be the daughter of Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton or something like that. but that just isn't the case in this film. It was fine for what it is. It's a big blockbuster spectacle to watch, but I think I gave this a 2.5 out of 5. It's right down the middle. It won't offend you, but you're not going to be talking about it weeks later.
I feel Twisters is so doesn't take any chances. I feel let's take grandma to the movies because she needs something, a little bit of excitement in her life. And it plays so tame, this movie. Beautiful Twisters. Yes. Let's give this thing credit. Absolutely phenomenal CGI.
Yes.
I love it. Glenn Powell shows you why he's a movie star in this movie. He looks good. That's what he's supposed to do. But my problem is they have nothing to do. They drive around, there's cool trucks, and they have a romance movie. And I'm like, this is not Twisters. I saw the original. It had a little bit of suspense. I bought the Bill Pullman, Helen Hunt. I didn't buy this relationship. I'm like, okay, we're going to hang out. Oh, there's Maury Tierney. Hey, I love Maury Tierney. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's put some more CGI Twisters in. I couldn't care less. I watched this. Just sat there going, yeah. Nope. Mm-hmm. This looks like just Hollywood crap. Like, it would be when I go to the Blockbuster years ago, it'd be 20, 45 copies of this on the wall. They'll all be gone.
Yes, yes.
Because it's Friday night, grandma needs a movie. And that's really what I feel. I thought the dialogue was plain. I don't know what I was expecting for a movie about Twisters, but I was hoping something.
I was disappointed because I like the director, Lee Isaac Chung.
Or actually, which I don't know.
The only movie of his I've seen is Minari, but I thought Minari was fantastic. That's the one.
But there's no touches of Minari in this.
There really wasn't at all. And that, so I went in with higher expectations because of the director, but I left feeling, oh, wow, he just kind of took the Hollywood money, made the big Hollywood movie, and I guess maybe he's doing those one for them, one for me. So maybe the next movie he makes will be a more personal project that'll be really good again.
One can always hope so, but I don't see it in Twisters. I mean, all these characters could have got whipped up in the Twister and I might have liked it better. I just thought it was just a dull, basic ending we saw coming.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty standard disaster movie.
Like, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm thinking of the older disaster movie, like Poseidon Adventure, Towering Inferno. Those actually had body counts. Those had, you know, big name actors who would get killed off in the movie. There really wasn't any of that here. It was safe.
There's body count at the beginning.
Yeah, but any big name actors? Any like
Paul Scheer? No, Paul Scheer doesn't get killed. He's at the end.
He lives. He's only in the end. But like I'm thinking, Shelley Winters in Poseidon Adventure. Yes. You don't expect her to die, but she does. There's nothing like that in this movie to me.
Nothing. Just blah. Take grab on the movie. Show a little excitement. Guess what I saw, Betty? I saw Twisters. Yeah, Twisters is a big pass for me, too. Acting was dull. Glenn Powell looked good. Paul Scheer, there he is. Get some hair. Let's move along.
So are you ready to talk about some babes?
Yes.
Okay, Babes, directed by Pamela Adlon, starring Ilana Glazer and Michelle Buteo.
Yeah, I've been an Ilana Glazer fan for a long time. I think she does have comedy chops. And going into this film, I knew I was going to watch an indie. I wanted to see where it went. I wanted something different to watch. So I put this on the list for that reason. And you know what? I kind of like this at times. Some of the jokes were pretty solid. I thought it kind of worked. I loved the relationship between her and her friend and the husband. I thought it was great. I thought the whole baby daddy thing was phenomenal. That worked for me.
Yes, yes.
And I thought the jokes were continuing. I mean, it has a little bit of, right near the end, I thought it slows down a little bit too much. But I thought everything leading up to that was great. And I thought the jokes kept coming. The scenarios worked. I like the shooting style a lot. It looks like they had low budget, but they used whatever they had well. Mm-hmm. And I liked it. She was a fitness instructor. I liked everything about this film. I just didn't love the film. That's if that fair. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a good premise. I liked that the black actor got work. It wasn't just about Elena Glazer. It was more about her mm-hmm. and her issues, and her going back to work was funny. And I just like, you know what? This is a nice feel-good movie to me. Grandma can't yep. watch this one because that's some premarital sex you couldn't handle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think Elena Glazer would have worked on Grandma here.
No.
But no, I think this film works on many levels. I think people should discover this and give independent cinema a try.
Yes.
I really think this is a nice independent film. I think it tells its story. It gets out. At least you're not wondering. I do like the end. I thought it was very cute. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of pleasantly happy with it.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm doing this. But again, I'm pretty much in agreement with you.
Are you okay?
Crazy episode. I don't know.
Like a towel.
My kids are down in North Carolina visiting my mom. So I don't have the kids around right now. So
that must
maybe
be
that's why. Yes, but yeah. I mean, I love Pamela Adlon. I think she's a brilliant actress, and this being her feature debut as director, I thought she nailed it. I mean, like you said, it's definitely low budget. But it does tell its story. She has her point of view that she gets across in the shot, in the shots, in the scenes. I mean, I love Elena Glazer too. I think she's very funny. I think my favorite thing was that the guy died from was it an almond or a walnut or some kind of nut, and that just I don't know that worked for me.
I like they went to see the movie in some crappy cinema.
Yes. I also like the Omen stuff. I loved all the stuff with the Omen.
I was going to go to the Omen later, yes.
Yes. Just the kid's scaring the nanny now because he's starting to act like Damien from the Omen. I thought that was great.
I like the Lucas. Do you know the Lucas brothers, who they are?
Are they twins?
They are twins, and they're okay, in 21 Jump Street, the first 21 Jump Street movie they're
yes,
in.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, I have met them, too. They're very nice. But I like that they go, oh, if I die, they would be my whatever to call. Mm-hmm. And they call her. I thought that joke worked very well for me.
Yeah, this was a really good movie. I would give this one a 3.5 out of 5.
I think I gave it a solid 2.5, but that's for me is pretty okay. good. Now, I have a question. When I put this on the list, where you're like, what's he thinking?
Honestly,
I don't know what I like.
Honestly, at first I watched that documentary Bratz by accident. I thought
I know you did. And you wanted to put it on.
I thought you had meant to put Bratz.
No.
Because we had discussed that. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, oh, no, there actually is a movie called Babes. And then I watched and I liked it. So
well, because I want you to know, I love independent cinema, as you guys know, because we do it. So every once in a while, I feel like I'm going to mix it up. Give you something out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And that's why it was on there. Just because it was, I read about it and said it was good. So I'm like, I'll try it out.
Yeah.
I mean, usually they're not.
It wasn't, I wouldn't qualified as a romantic comedy, so I'm
good.
Oh,
it's very close.
Close, but I wouldn't call it. It's not that Glenn Powell movie from last year, Anyone But You. It's not that kind of romantic comedy.
No, definitely not.
So I'm fine with it.
Okay.
All right. And now this
on
one
with
could
the show.
Lead to a discussion.
Uh-oh.
Long Legs. Directed by Osgood Perkins, starring Micah Monroe, Nicolas Cage, Alicia Witt, and Blair Underwood.
Sure lead.
Yes. I'm looking at my notes here because I watched this a few weeks ago. This one, it's been in my mind for a while now. Sometimes I think it's like this five-star masterpiece. Sometimes I think it's just 3-star, middle of the road. So I'm guessing it's actually probably somewhere in between. So I'll give it a 4 right now. First of all, I don't think Nicolas Cage is as scary or as captivating as a lot of people think he is. I think that the performance in this movie that really got me was Alicia Witt.
Yeah.
I thought she was absolutely fantastic in this movie. I've liked her for a while, but I haven't really seen her recently get a role like this that she could sink her teeth into and just kind of lose herself into the character. I thought she was absolutely wonderful. I didn't particularly find this movie scary. I know some people are saying it's the scariest movie in years. I'm actually less afraid of paranormal stories. I think it would have been a lot creepier without the paranormal aspects, where it's just a human doing these awful things to people. But I guess in this case, it had to be paranormal because it's Satan. It takes place in the end of the big satanic panic. I'm kind of in between on this movie. Sometimes I love it. Sometimes I don't. So I'm giving it a 4.
Oh, boy. Here it goes.
All right. So the first one we disagree on. Okay.
We're going to have a disagreement right here. I think this is 2/3 of a good movie. 2/3. I have a huge problem with the third act.
Okay.
I didn't enjoy it at all. I love Alicia Witt. She definitely took me. I'm like, is that Alicia Witt? Really? Okay, I'll give it to you. I just think it was setting us one way and then trying to flip us at the end. Okay. And I kind of went, I don't care. I found they got away from that creepiness by the end. They tried to shock me, and it didn't shock me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought that the shots were perfect, really close and tight. And constantly I was feeling, oh, God, I don't like this feeling. When I got to the end, I'm like, I wanted more. I just felt it ran out of steam by the end. They went in a different direction of the film.
Okay.
I mean, Nicolas Cage, I heard, was kooky bananas 10. I'm like, he's like a 4. He wasn't that kooky bananas in this. I thought Alicia Witt was a solid 10, kooky bananas.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted more for the third act. I liked the shot style. I thought the world was working for me. I just wanted more out of the last. It fell apart for me in the third act. It really just fell apart in the last 10 minutes.
I was on board. Would you say from the moment she wakes up in his bed?
Yes.
Okay.
I wanted more from that. I'm like, I don't know where this is going. I think it's just getting dumb now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was disappointed with the end. I'm just being honest with you. I just thought, I don't care.
I did read, I forget where, I might have been Reddit. So it's not actually a professional reviewer saying this, but it's a theory I like that this movie is actually about child sexual assault.
It could be. I totally give you that.
That it was in the 90s because, you know, you have the Bill Clinton face behind Blair Underwood because, you know, he's a known, I guess, sexual assaulter.
Is he?
I know he's a known philanderer,
yes.
Accused assaulter. I don't know if it's been proven he's assaulted anybody, but I'm just going based on this theory I read. And that the father saying, you know, I can only do it when she's not looking at me. It's harder when her eyes are on me. That led the person to believe it's, you know, child sexual assault. And
I agree with that.
I kind of like that theory. I think that would make the movie scarier for me. But I honestly don't think that's what Osgood Perkins had in his head. I think he really did just wanted to tell a Satanist story.
I don't know. I just Mike and Monroe was fine. I don't want anybody to think it was just fine. I didn't think she was amazing. Blair Underwood did what he was supposed to. Nicolas Cage plays Nicolas Cage. Alicia Witt, best ever. Excellent. But again, I wanted more out of this story. I felt I was getting spoon-fed a lot of the time. Here's a little bit. Let's type with the computer, find something out. Blair Underwood says something. Oh, there's a little bit more. I wanted a little bit more investigation, a little bit more movement of the character, as opposed to sitting there half the time.
Yeah, I will agree with that. I think maybe it's just the aesthetic worked better for me than it did you. I just enjoyed it more.
Fair enough.
All right. So we go from Alien Romulus to Wicked Little Letters, directed by Thea Sharrock, starring Jesse Buckley, Olivia Colman, Ajana Vasan, and Timothy Spall. I'll start off on this one since you started with Romulus. I love both Jesse Buckley and Olivia Colman. I didn't see this movie in the theater, but as soon as I saw that it was streaming on Netflix, I decided I needed to watch it right away. And it's just a fun little movie. It's a movie that you would call a grandma movie, because I think you can show this movie to the whole family, including grandmas, as long as they don't mind harsh language. Because aside from that, there's really nothing offensive in this movie. I had fun with it. I liked the two leads a lot. I thought they were charming. What's the one scene I thought? The fact that the harsh language was so shocking, it caused Olivia Colman's mom to have a heart attack and die. That made me laugh. I just had a lot of fun with this. The one note I have here, I was wondering why Rose's daughter looked so familiar to me. So I looked up the actress. She played Abigail in the movie Abigail earlier this year.
Oh, no way. I didn't notice.
Yes. So that's why she looked familiar to me. But yeah, I had fun with this movie. I gave it a 3.5 out of 5.
Wow, you're not getting away that easily on this film. Good try, though, Doug. Okay. I got to say, the more I watch Colman, the more I love Colman. She cannot amazing. Do anything wrong for me. And as I go back through her filmography, look, I'm like, oh my God, all these films I saw her in, I didn't know who she was. Mm-hmm. And she never took it away. So let's get in. Without Colman being, I'd say, perfectly brilliant in this film, mm-hmm. it won't work. She is just okay. truly wonderful. So is Jesse Gold.
Yes. Yes.
Wonderful. Absolutely perfect spot. I like the whole setup. Is this a real village they live in or a set?
Probably a real village. I didn't look it up. I would say it looked pretty real to me.
Well, that was my thing. I liked the idea. I enjoyed, I say 8/10 of this movie, I loved. My problem was when the detectives start getting involved. I didn't enjoy them as much. The men detective were too stupid for me. Mm-hmm. And they were treating the lady detective so badly. And I just got annoyed with them at that point. But Jesse, man, when she's running away from them, made me laugh so hard.
Yeah, I think the two leads of this movie were just perfectly cast.
I did have a lot of problems with the courtroom. I thought it was a bit of a mess. The courtroom stuff is not very uninteresting to me. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. And I think just before they tell you who did it, you pretty much know who did it. I don't want to give that away right now.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there going, what could I do to make this film perfect? And I'm like, I would probably get to the courtroom stuff and make it a little more interesting. somehow.
Okay.
Like, I just find it, the film is so much fun all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're making comments, this and that. I needed that in the courtroom. And they made it so serious in the courtroom. And I'm like, I think that's the problem. You're trying to do something that the film shouldn't be doing for the way you set it up okay. and finish it.
I get that.
I find this is, it's a bit of a mess in the middle. I'm like, I know what you're trying to prove, but you're making Jesse look bad. And I don't want Jesse ever to look bad in my eyes in this movie. To me, okay. she's the only real person in the movie. You know?
Mm-hmm. I get those.
Like, I can relate with her. She's having fun. She's living her life.
Mm-hmm.
And just so you know, me doing my job and living in a mailbox, as we know, I never leave. You can't put somebody in a mailbox because that's just not allowed.
Okay.
I understand in movie magic, I should allow it. It just kind of bugged me. I thought the handwriting analysis should have came up a bit more.
Well, they tried, but they specifically said that back then that wasn't looked at as a real science, or it couldn't be used as proof of anything.
I thought that was just an easy way just to deflect that off us so we couldn't use that to get this film done quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of stuff. But no, overall, I think it's a great, fun movie. Yes, my grandmother or my – actually, I'm going to recommend it to my mother-in-law.
Okay.
And see what she thinks of it. But I think she's going to love it.
Okay.
She likes these quirky – I think it's a very quirky film.
Yes.
But I think it's a lovely film. Now, my question I want to know is, where did you find out about this? Because I didn't ever see anything about it.
Like I said, I'm a fan of both Jesse Buckley and Olivia Colman.
So am I.
So when the trailer
Jesse
came
– Jesse Ooh. Buckley.
Oops. So when the trailer came out, I saw the trailer. And I just never got around to seeing it in the theater. But as soon as it started on Netflix, I was like, this is a must watch instantly.
This got a theatrical release in the States? I don't know if it got one in Canada.
Yeah,
because I know I would have seen it.
It didn't do well, obviously. It kind of came and went, but yeah, it was in the theater for a couple weeks.
Okay. I must have missed it. I got to apologize, dude, for missing it. Because I think I would have loved this film and watched it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think it's a delightful film. Buckley shows her butt. So if you're like, you want to see the Buckley butt, there you go. And I
for
did
one
like.
Split second. Yes.
That's a little bit longer than a split second.
Okay.
But I do want to bring a little bit more attention to her boyfriend.
Okay.
I thought he was pretty solid, too.
Yes. I don't think I took down his name. That
it doesn't matter.
Name.
He's not important okay. to the plot in any way. Even there's one minor scene he's kind of needed for.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, oh, maybe two scenes he's needed for. But that's about it. But I think everybody here does a solid job. It just falls apart for me here and there. And not to the point that I hate the film. I think a little bit of writing, a little bit of working maybe going to fix that. Or maybe they weren't going for that at all. And
yeah,
the end just kind of bugged me.
Okay.
How the cop finally gives into her and gives her her handcuffs. I go, that's a little dumb, but okay, I'll let it go.
Yeah, I also like the little groups of women just investigating on their own. I thought
real.
That was great.
I think that really does happen.
Mm-hmm.
In these small towns.
Yes.
That people actually get together and do this stuff. I just feel, I guess reading too much Agatha Christie novels that I feel this stuff actually exists.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. People, I want you to watch this film. I gave it a 3.5. I am a hard grader, though, as we all know. But that is a recommend for me. It's a 3.5. So take it for what you will.
Okay.
Doug gave it a 9.
No, I gave it the same score, 3.5 out of 5.
Oh, look at that. Okay.
All right. So now we go on to Zom 100, Bucket List of the Dead, directed by Yusuke Ishida, starring
good luck.
Elgia Akasu, Mia Shiriyashi, and Shuntaro Yanagai. I think I pronounced those probably horribly. I'll start with this one because I love zombie movies. What can I say?
And Japanese zombie movies.
Yes. First of all, this movie hooked me right at the beginning with the premise of the main character not being upset at a zombie apocalypse because it meant he didn't have to go to work anymore. I love that concept. Unfortunately, I relate to it far too well. I would much rather survive a zombie apocalypse than go to work. But yeah, I aside from that, this is kind of a prototypical zombie comedy. I don't think it offers much in the way of gore or action per se. It does have a zombie shark who can come on land because it's already dead, using the legs of people it has eaten, now poking out of it to walk on land. So that's a kind of unique concept. But aside from that, I don't think this movie really has much else to offer, unless you're like me and love zombie movies. I will say there is also an anime of the same name. It's longer, so it goes past the aquarium story. It actually goes into the main character's family. He goes to see them on a farm that they live on away from the city. So I guess if there's a sequel, that's where this movie will go. Yeah, I love zombie movies. I had fun with this one. I gave it a 2.5 or 3 out of 5, just kind of right down the middle. Didn't really offer much new, but I love the concept of a guy loving a zombie apocalypse because he didn't have to go to work.
Yeah, I can't relate to you on the zombie apocalypse because, I mean, I was thinking maybe you'd write a list with your kids and your wife and come visit me is what I was thinking while this movie was going on.
Okay.
Because Doug knows I'd get sidetracked and never make it to him. Because Doug knows how I work. But I was into this movie for about 15, 20 minutes pretty solidly.
Okay.
And then what I find when they pick up his buddy and they pick up the stewardess, I'm like, ah, this is getting cliche. And then I thought it was cliche from then on until they got to the aquarium.
Okay.
I found this movie. I did like the bus pulling up and all those people getting turned into zombies.
Yes.
I did enjoy that. Mm-hmm. So other than that, I really have nothing to say. I thought it was very basic. I did like the list concept and how he was taking things off his list. I thought that was kind of different. But let's get to the fun part. You got to get to the aquarium, people. You really just got to push through the crap and get to the aquarium. Zombie shark. I got it back. Yes. Brilliant. Absolutely. Whoever thought of zombie shark, I got to give them full credit. That is the most fun I ever had was zombie shark. Nothing else in this film amused me at all, but zombie shark, I was falling asleep near the end.
Okay.
When they, with the guy and his stupid boss is back, I'm like, I don't like this guy. How come nobody's killed him yet? But zombie shark, I was laughing with zombie shark. I was trying to figure out how they were going to get rid of Zombie Shark. It's just, Zombie Shark was fun.
Yes.
I got to give Zombie Shark full credit. And I like how he decided he wanted to be a superhero and how he's going to do it at this point and save people.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really cool. I like that concept and how they did that.
Yes, yes.
But then it comes almost like a romance story near the end. I'm like, oh, this is just not for me. There's nothing here other than Zombie Shark at the beginning of the film. You know?
Okay.
I'm just like, I wanted, I don't know, more action maybe. Maybe a little bit more fun, absurdity like Zombie Shark. Mm-hmm. I think I enjoyed it. It reminded me way too much of Zombieland at times.
Yes, yes, good comparison.
And I just felt weird. I'm like, number one, always take toilet paper. Number two, always check the back seat. And I really felt that Liss was playing off Zombieland that way. I'm like, okay, I get where you're going, but you got to do something with this. But the cliches were bugging me a lot as I watched this till Zombie Shark showed up.
Okay.
So I gave this like a 1.5, maybe a 2. I can't remember. I have extra features podcast. I'll tell you what I did. I found it just fell apart till Zombie Shark. And that brought me back in. And then the end shows up and I'm like, eh, I don't really care. They're going off to the sunset. I knew they were going to live.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like the movement of the zombies. But I found near the end, the zombies didn't move as fast as they did in the beginning. Did you find that?
No, because I thought the zombie shark moved pretty quickly.
The zombie shark, but not the zombies. The people turned into the zombies.
I will be honest, I did not notice a slowdown of the zombies.
Just remember, Doug, check the back seat, make sure you have toilet paper, and Twinkies are good.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess we can...
I can tell you a quick side story. It has nothing to do with the movie.
Okay.
So I was in the States about 3 weeks ago, maybe about a month now. And I love going to Dollar Tree. Love Dollar Tree. Sorry, guys. We have them here, but it's just different stuff than yours. So, side note, I had a root canal. Okay? My benefits are done. I have to get a crown in my tooth or I can't eat anything hard on that side. So I bought these things called black candy peanuts. I'm like, oh, these are great. Right? I think they're black, whatever. So put them in my mouth, took one bite. I'm like, uh-oh, too hard, too hard, too hard. Didn't even finish the first one. This thing was like a hard candy coated thing. Whole box went in the garbage in 2 seconds. Oh, nope, no. That. So the best thing, people, I just want to tell you, I know I'm giving the Dollar Tree some thing. I don't know if people like Dollar Tree in the States. I love it. They have Oreo Cakesters.
Okay.
Which are my favorite Oreo treat ever. They don't exist in Canada. We don't have them. We had them 20 years ago. They're gone now. Don't buy the peanut butter ones. They suck. Just buy the regular Oreo ones. Okay. And if you have any extra, send them to Doug, and he can bring them, smuggle them over the border to me when he comes over out of the zombie apocalypse. So shh,
yes. Tell everybody. Okay.
It's a secret.
All right. So now we can move on to Perfect Days, directed by Wim Wenders, starring Koji Yakusho, Takeo Imoto, and Arisa Nakano. Did you want to start with this one, or would you like me to?
Sure. I'll start with this.
Okay.
This is one of those films that, I mean, I've never seen so many of my friends jerking it off. It was scary. Like, all my friends, oh, this is a great movie. Ah, you got to see it. Oh, it's one of my favorite movies. And I'm like, guys, I'm not watching this. I can't listen to you guys jerk this off anymore. Literally, I think they're blowing the director while they're writing their reviews on it. You know who you are, people. I can even start calling you guys out if you'd like. I will maybe one day. So I'm like, this is a Doug film. As soon as Doug bought it, I'm like, Doug will put it on the list. I don't need to watch it. So it starts off pretty slow, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked it. I found it very quirky. I'm like, oh, like, I kind of like the main guy. Doesn't say a lie. He's cleaning toilets. I wanted to punch the guy who was working with him. He needs a punch in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes from there. And you know what? As the film goes on, I like him more. I get to know his habits. I think he's very good at what he does. He likes old music. He likes to sit in the truck. He should have kicked that guy out of the truck. His buddy, he's a pain in the ass. But the buddy helps out. We get to know him better through the buddy. I mean, he did give him some money to be nice, and I thought it was great. I did love the third act a lot, much more than I thought I would. The third act, I find, is much better than the first act.
Okay.
When he picks up, well, I don't want to ruin it. When somebody shows up to visit him,
okay,
I like the film even more. And then I found the very end of the film so touching, it scared me.
Yes.
And, I mean, I'm not saying it brought tears to my eyes, but I think it's just a nice film. I wanted to say it was a perfect film, but it's not. I didn't give it a 10. I gave it a 3.5, which is a good score for me. It's a 7 out of 10. which I think I settled. Now you're going to ask me why. I just feel it's a little calm for me. There's nothing wrong with a calm film. I think it does a great job. I think the story's all there. It's complete. It just lacks a little conflict for me. Now, should I have conflict? No, I don't think it needs to. The only conflict we have is at the very end when he walks in on something. Mm-hmm. I think that's really the only conflict, and it's not really resolved. And I wanted that resolve. They resolved probably everything else, but not that. Not that I really need it. Mm-hmm. I kind of wanted him to kick that kid's ass and get his money. That really bugged me that he's going to get it one day. I don't think a guy's ever going to pay up. And that pissed me off. No. You know? But I just like the film. I find it very quiet, but enjoyable.
Okay. I guess I'm one of those people.
I should have given this a 4. You know, I need to read. I'm not redoing my letterbox, but I should have given this a 4. Now I talked about it.
I guess I'm one of those people who, you know, was jerking off this. I gave it a 5 out of 5.
There we go. There's another one on the list. Doug's sitting there going, oh, this is great, great.
Well, when I put it on, when I got the Blu-ray, I put it on. Dylan goes, oh, you're going to watch that? I kind of wanted to see that.
All so right, Dylan. Let's hear Dylan's version.
Dylan sat down to watch it with me. At first, he was drawn in by, he said, the colors. He loved the use of color in this movie.
He's correct.
And then he was actually... He was actually fascinated by Koji Yakusho's performance. He felt that was some of the best acting he has seen in film. And that
really?
And that final shot of the movie, completely dialogue free, but you could see everything on his face.
Yes, absolutely.
And Dylan thought it was a masterful performance. He's like, that is one of the best things I have ever seen. I love this movie. I love that Hirayama, that's the main character's name. He's a very analog person. He uses cassette tapes, he reads novels, he uses a film camera. So there's no digital anything really in his life.
He has a phone, though.
He does. He does have the phone. But I think that's mostly for work. Because later on when he calls his sister, he uses the landline in the bathhouse. He doesn't use his cell phone.
Correct.
So I just love that we get we establish his life. And really what we learn about him is we learn it through conflicts that he has. We learn that he probably does not have a very good relationship with his father, because when his sister shows up, she says, you know, you really should go see Dad. He's not like he used to be. That's really all she says, but we can infer that maybe his father was abusive. Maybe his father was drunk. Maybe his father cared too much about his job instead of his family. And we just know that Hirayama does not want to be like his father. My guess is that his father was a drunk, because Hirayama himself, we don't see him drink anything until the end, when he witnesses something that he wishes he hadn't. That's the only time we see him drink. So I'm guessing his father was probably an alcoholic and he didn't want to be like his father. You say you didn't see a resolution to what he saw. I think it was resolved. There was an explanation for what he saw, and I believed that explanation.
I believe the explanation. I just want him to go back there.
Okay. And he will, because that's part of his routine. He goes to that restaurant a lot. And I think he will be back there again. We just don't see it.
I think he goes everywhere a lot. I mean, he goes to the bookstore a lot.
Mm-hmm. And that noodle place in the subway he goes to a lot. I just loved this movie. I like Dylan said, I mean, the colors capture you, be it the greens of the plants, the violet of the lights he has to grow his plants in his apartment, the different colors of the public restrooms that he cleans. It's a very lush and beautiful movie to look at, which is really odd when it's about a guy who cleans public toilets. It's just...
But it's not about that.
Yeah.
That's what people need to get by. It's not about it. That's his job. That's it. Mm-hmm. That really doesn't have much to do with the movie.
No, just not really.
That's what he does. That's how he makes his money. We're more interested. The good stuff is all the stuff he does outside of that.
Yes. Yeah, I love this movie. I guess we could move on quickly to 13 Assassins, directed by Takashi Miike, also starring Koji Yakusho and Tayaka Yamada, Tsuki Isia, and Tsui Ihara. I will say I picked this movie because Dylan liked Perfect Days so much. I wanted to show him another movie that also stars Koji Yakusho. And the only other one I had seen was this one, 13 Assassins. I will say, right off the bat, I gave this movie a 4 out of 5. Rewatching it, I will say the first half of this movie is kind of boring.
Oh, good. So it wasn't just me.
Yeah, we get a lot of stories about how awful this Lord is and how the Lord has to be stopped. We see the Lord being awful again and again and again. And by like the third or fourth time we see him do something horrible to somebody, it just becomes laughable. It's not as shocking as it should be. However, once it gets to the village and that fake wall crosses the alley and cuts off the Lord and his army from progressing, and then the assassins appear on the roof and there's bows and arrows and swords everywhere, that half of the movie gets the full 4 stars for me. That is just balls to the wall action. There is blood everywhere, as you would want from a samurai film. It's amazing. I can't get over how incredible the set pieces were. At the end, when the Lord gets beheaded, Dylan really wanted to see his head fall into the hole in the outhouse. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen. But my God, there was just so much viscera and action in the second half of the movie. I was just enthralled. I don't know how you felt, Simon.
Okay, I got a weird score. So I'm watching this movie and Doug got a text from me saying, WTF. That was when he was shooting the naked girl with her arms cut. I'm like, what the hell is he making? I was having problems. I was having problems getting through the beginning of this film. I'm like, it must have taken me 4 days. Okay. I had stuff come up. So I started watching it. Then I had to go to bed. So I watched 20 minutes. Next day I said, I got to get through this. I think I made it through half an hour. So I'm still only at the 50-minute mark. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm going to kill Doug. This film is literally killing me. And then I started the second hour. Boom. Wow. What a difference. I'm like, is this the same film? This is enjoyable. I couldn't wait to finish the film. It took me 2 more days to finish it just because I was busy. Drove me nuts. But in the end, I gave this film a 7. It went nice. From a 2 in the first hour. I mean, a solid 2. I was so pissed off. To a 7 by the end of the film because I was enjoying it so much. My favorite character is that guy that's not a samurai.
Okay. The thief guy or whatever.
I love him. He made this whole film for me. I used to laugh when he'd show up. He was having fun. And I like it. They go, don't worry. We got this. And then just the stuff just kept happening and happening and happening. Mm-hmm. The fight scenes were excellent. I found it as like this film had 2 different writers.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we need to know how cruel the guy was continuously. Because he was just so repulsive. We got it.
I did get a text from Dylan just now. He asked me to specifically mention something in the fight at the end.
Okay.
There was the scene where one of the assassins is overwhelmed and is about to die. So he lights a bomb and he's holding this bomb. Yes. And then we cut to the front of the house where there's more carnage going on. Then we hear the explosion and like a tidal wave of blood flies up over the top of the house and like rains down on people in front. And it looked like there was maybe 2 people in the back alley when the bomb went off. That was way more blood than in 2 people's body combined. So that had to be like 20 people's worth of blood just flying everywhere. And that was, that was amazing.
Oh, I agree. He's right on. I think this film is just fun. It just has so much fun in the second hour that it needed a bit of fun in the first hour, maybe, to make it so dark and thing. But it picked up so much that I quite enjoyed it.
Yes.
So.
And I will say that Takashi Miike says the ending is up for interpretation. Because they asked, like, is the Koyata character the crazy guy, the thief guy, is he a supernatural being?
No.
Or, well, because we see him die. He gets the knife to the neck. Does. And then at the end, he's back. He's like, oh, we're going to go up to whatever that city is. And so it's up to interpretation of whether he's a supernatural being or if he's really dead and that the other assassin is just hallucinating after being through such a horrific battle. Okay, and that brings us to our final film of the episode. It is the 1964 film, The World of Henry Orient, directed by George Roy Hill, starring Peter Sellers, Tippi Walker, Mary Spaeth. It also has Angela Lansbury and Tom Bosley as well.
It does.
Yes. Also, Grandpa Munster. So
yes,
he's in it as well.
You are correct.
I could start off. I could say why I picked this movie.
Yeah, I always want to know that.
Okay. I picked this one because of all the I've seen just a handful of movies directed by George Roy Hill, but I have loved them. Slapshot. What else has he done? Slapshot's the one that comes to mind immediately, but The Sting, Slapshot, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Those are all movies I love.
Seen them all.
And so I picked this one because I'm like, oh, I like this director, Peter Sellers. He's always worth watching. I got to say, I was kind of let down by this movie. It wasn't as good as I was hoping for. I think the shots that were shot on location in New York were amazing. I loved the look of New York in the 60s when they're playing like that hopscotch, whatever, when they're jumping over each other and you could see the actual streets of New York. It looked fantastic. Central Park, when they're spying on Peter Sellers and his lover, was fantastic. Everything else looked to me like it was shot on a set. that didn't have the same life to me as the on location shoots. Peter Sellers was okay, but this definitely was not one of his great performances. I'm actually surprised to find the two lead girls, they stopped acting, both of them, within 10 years of making this movie. I don't know why. I think they both could have had very good careers. I think they were both pretty good in this movie. But all in all, I don't know. I just didn't like it as much as I was hoping I would. I think I gave this a 2 out of 5.
Wow. I think we agree 100% on this.
Oh, wow.
I thought this film went nowhere quickly. Like, I liked the beginning. I didn't know where it was going. I liked the setup. I did like the first 10 minutes of the film when the girls were becoming friends and this and that. I thought that was good.
Yes.
And then Peter Sellers shows up. Like, all right, I love Peter. I'm like, he doesn't do anything. When's Peter Sellers going to be Peter Sellers? He's never Peter Sellers to me.
Yeah, I think there's a few times where he drops the accent that he's putting on. And you hear, like, the New Yorker, like, yeah, you know, and that slips out just a couple times. But aside from that, I didn't really feel Peter Sellers' heart really in this role.
I call it a money picture.
Okay.
I think he just picked it up for the money. I love the end of the film. I thought the end of the film was excellent.
The ending with the two girls, or
I like the two girl ending, and I like the way they ended everything.
Okay.
And I thought that worked for me. My problem was in the middle when the girls are keep chasing him around, and then he this. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't find this interesting in any way.
Yeah,
I didn't find him meeting all these people interesting. Picking up the Goldie Hawn, isn't it?
No, I don't think that. I don't think Goldie Hawn was in this movie.
Who's the girl he picks up?
The
blonde.
Let me see. Might have been Paula Prentice.
That's it, Paula Prentice. And yes. I never find Paula Prentice. Everybody tells me what a great actor she is. I'm like, I've never seen a movie. I'm like, wow, that's amazing.
I think this might be the only thing I've seen her in. The name is familiar, so I might have seen her in other things. I just don't remember.
I do have I'm going off topic as always. I do have a Paula Prentice story.
Okay.
No idea who she was. And I'm telling you, I had no idea. But we're walking by this lady. Everybody goes, we're looking for Paula Prentice. Have you seen her? I'm like, what does she look like? I'm like, oh, yeah. She was back at that tree 10 minutes ago. We walked right by her. What? My friends were so mad at me that we walked by Paula Prentice. And didn't ask her for an autograph. I had no idea who she is. We walked right by her. I'm like, oh yeah, we saw her. What? She was at that tree talking to somebody. I know I saw her. I had no idea who she was. So that's my brush with Paula Prentice. I did see her once.
Nice.
I just feel this film lacks heart till the end. I feel the middle, it just seems to me to be sloppy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, nothing. I want him to do more. But I see what you're saying. Like, even this shot they have him doing the symphony, I'm like, that looked terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Every shot of him, I'm just like, more of this.
Yeah.
Angela Lansbury, I thought, was solid.
Yeah. Yeah. She played a good kind of villain of the movie, I thought.
And I thought Tom Bosley did good when he showed up.
Yes. Yes.
But I mean, okay. I know we've done our movie. There's not really much to discuss with this. We just fought a fight of bland.
Mm-hmm.
Is Peter Sellers blown up to be something he isn't?
No, I don't think so.
I'm just wondering. The Pink Panther movie is phenomenal. The Party, I love. I'm not
Doctor
a big
Strange
fan of
Love.
I'm not a big fan of that film. I have seen it though.
I watch it maybe once a year. I love Doctor Strangelove.
Is he just one of these actors that we think pass of because we're older than obviously he didn't exist in our time until we were really late. So we just saw his highlights first.
Maybe, but I mean, there's also Being There where he's fantastic in that.
Lovely film.
Yeah, I think He might be like the Eddie Murphy of his time, I would say.
I'll give him that.
I would compare the two of them together. I think he's definitely up there. I think he deserves his reputation, Peter Sellers.
Okay. Well, Doug, it's your favorite time of the show.
Yes.
What Criterion Collection sale did you forget to mention this week?
Let me see. I actually got – I don't have them in front of me. I was rushed, but
rushed. I picked – How were you rushed by me? You picked the time.
I know. That is my fault. My dog took a while outside. So
Your dog's like a size of a loaf of bread.
Yes, and he still just – he likes to sniff every blade of grass outside.
Fair enough.
But let's see. I picked up Bound 4K, the Wachowski.
And was at the world premiere. I think it was at TIFF.
Okay.
I was there for that.
Nice. I also got they just released two Albert Brooks movies, Mother and Real Life. So those are what I got.
That's it. Well, that's it, Doug. That's it for our show this week. Thank you for finally making it.
Hot. Yes.
That's very kind of you to find time for us. I appreciate that.
Well, I'm just happy you're feeling better.
I'm getting there. And if they make it.
We will watch it, but it'll take us a couple weeks to finish recording.
True.